Thank you so much, Sins, and thank you so much to David and the team for leading us so well. Folk, I tell you what, every time we worship the Lord, it's just a taste of what heaven's going to be like. Being in His presence, seeing Him face to face and worshiping Him forever and ever and ever. Just congratulations to Eric. Where is Eric? Ah, Eric. Eric Flanagan, he turned the big 8-0 this past week, Wednesday, I believe. We had his party yesterday. Eric, a lot was said yesterday, but from my side, what a man of integrity and humility you are. We love and respect you. You've turned 40 twice, and you're better looking now than you were before. But Eric, we love you. You've got an amazing family, a beautiful wife, and you're just a pillar, a rock, a man who lives for Jesus. So may God bless you in the year ahead, and may He take you from strength to strength to strength. If you go through to the hall after the service, we had a bit of a party yesterday to celebrate Eric's birthday, but some of the decorations are still there. And in fact, I encourage you, there's a history of Eric's life up on the board. You can go and see him when he was 21. Man, he was a handsome young guy, if I can say so myself. But go and check it out. Folk, thank you so much for being squashed this morning. The good news is that Arthur is here this morning. Arthur Marley is going to be helping us with some extra space. So all that space to the left, there'll be Lucian sitting to the windows, will be incorporated into the church within the next couple of weeks. All that will be open up, so we'll have extra space, maybe 60 or 70 chairs, much more comfortable. So just bear with us for a couple more weeks until Arthur gets the job done. Well, today I'm not going to preach for long. Amen. Yeah, I tell you, it's frightening, honestly. You, chaps. It's people like Rebel that keep me in business. But the reason is I'm going to be baptizing a number of folk this morning and this evening, but we've got 10 folk this morning to be baptized. So today I want to just share briefly and lay the foundation for that. So Matthew chapter 13, very interesting chapter is Matthew chapter 13. There are 7 parables in one chapter. And the parables have been described as earthly stories with spiritual meanings. And so we're going to look at just 2 of those parables this morning, the parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. So here we go, Matthew chapter 13, and we pick up the story in verse 44. Jesus says, "The kingdom of heaven is like treasure hidden in a field, which a man found and hid, and for joy over it he goes and he sells everything that he has, and he buys that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a merchant seeking beautiful pearls, who when he had found the pearl of great price, he went and sold everything that he had, and he bought it." Well, Jesus is the master teacher, and he says the kingdom of God can be compared to finding a treasure. Now, how exciting. Who doesn't like the thought of finding treasure? I'm convinced there's a bit of pirate in all of us, especially living in Ganubi. We love the thought of finding treasure. In fact, growing up in Amalinda, as kids, Haley, Karen, and myself, our favorite game was treasure hunt. And it usually involved finding some of Mom's valuable jewelry and going and hiding it somewhere in the garden for the others to find. Sorry, Mom, that was the game. But also, some of you may have seen a guy on the beach with a long metal detector walking around. I saw him on Wednesday afternoon on the Ganubi beach, and he walks around going, beep, beep, beep. And if you're one of those guys, forgive me for saying this, but I find them quite strange people. They're quite odd because they've usually got safari socks pulled up to their knees. They've got a long floppy cap over the ears. And while everyone else is relaxing and enjoying the sand and the surf, they are just walking around beep, beep, beep. However, I've gained new respect for these kinds of people. Because I did some research this week and I discovered a man who was walking around with his metal detector in a field in Wales. And as he walked around, beep, 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 he found a massive stash of gold and silver from the 7th and 8th centuries, valued at 10 million US dollars, 140 million rand. Never make fun of those kinds of people again. Well, what Jesus describes here is a guy, probably a poor person, poor man, out working in a field, and he discovers a treasure. He goes and hides the treasure, he goes home, and he does everything in his power to buy the treasure, to buy the field. Why does he want to buy the field? Because he knows the treasure he's discovered is more valuable, is more precious than everything he possesses. Wow. And so this is the story for this morning. He reorders his life to get his hands on the treasure. Now, let me ask you a question this morning. Is that how you think about Jesus? Is that how you think about the kingdom of God? You see, the danger is for those like me who've been around the church for a length of time is that you can become so accustomed to what happens in a church building. You know the stories from the Bible well. You know the rhetoric, and you've prayed the prayers over many years, and sometimes you can forget just what a priceless treasure Jesus is. What an amazing privilege it is to belong to the kingdom of God. Now, I wonder if you were writing this story in the Bible, how would you describe finding the kingdom of God if you were the storyteller? Maybe you would say there was a man digging in the field and the man discovered a hidden instruction manual giving you all the rules as to how you needed to live your life to please God. That doesn't sound that exciting compared to treasure, an instruction manual. Or maybe you'd say there was a man digging in the field and as he dug, he discovered a ball and chain. And he tied that ball and chain around his wrist, and that ball and chain prevented him from having fun for the rest of his life. Come and be a Christian is great. It's fantastic. No, not Jesus. He's the master storyteller. And he says finding the kingdom of God is like finding treasure. Treasure. Something amazingly valuable and precious. Well, in the Westminster Catechism, one of the main things that wonderful document outlines is this. It says, the chief end of man, the primary purpose of man, is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. Have you ever thought about that as being your purpose? You were made not for stuff. You were made for Jesus. You are made to glorify Him and to live in relationship with Him. That's your purpose. Look what Isaiah 43:7 says. Everyone who is called by my name, whom I have created for my glory, whom I formed and made. You were made, you were designed to live for Jesus and for the glory of His name. And you know what, friends? It's in Him that the deepest longings of your souls are satisfied. You can spend a lifetime chasing the wind, trying this and trying that, but only in Christ will the deepest needs of your life, the deepest longings of your soul ever be satisfied. No wonder the psalmist says, just one day in the courts of God is better than 1,000 elsewhere. Who can say amen to that? Just one day with Jesus, better than 1,000 elsewhere. Listen to this. In Christ, we find life. There's a great difference between existence and living. In Jesus Christ, you find life. In Jesus Christ, you find a reason for waking up in the morning that goes beyond yourself. There's a purpose for living. In Jesus Christ, you find peace in the midst of struggles and storms. I look at Bruce Watson and Errol Moller lying in ICU. They're battling with their health, but guess what? They're lying there in a place of absolute peace because of Jesus. Because He lives, they know that they can face tomorrow. You find peace. You find freedom. freedom from yourself, freedom from sin, freedom from bondage and addiction. All those things are found in Jesus. In Him you found amazing grace. Where would you be today were it not for the grace of Jesus? Give that a thought for a moment. Had God not given you grace, where would you be today? In God, in Christ, you are unconditionally loved. The world is crying out for love, but Jesus offers you unconditional love. He loves you as you are. He accepts you as you are, unconditionally loved. All these benefits are found in Christ. But maybe the best of all is through Jesus Christ, you have reconciliation with the God who gave you life. You are reconciled into right relationship with the God who calls the stars by name. The God who spoke the universe into being, that God becomes Abba. That God becomes your Father. And you can say with Paul, I'm no longer a slave to bondage and fear, but I'm a child of the living God with the hope of eternal life. Death, where is your sting? You've got no hold on me anymore because Jesus lives for me. To live is Christ, but to die is gain. All these things are found in Jesus. My friends, if you gain Christ, let me tell you, you gain everything worth having. He's the ultimate treasure. Mark 8:36 says this, for what will it profit a man to gain the whole entire world and yet to lose his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? That day when you stand before God to give an account of your life, man, your fancy bank balance and your wonderful possessions and all your worldly success will amount to absolutely nothing. On that day, all that will matter is Jesus. He is the ultimate treasure. He is the pearl of great price. My second observation is that in both these stories, the person sold everything they had to get their hands on the treasure and the pearl. No doubt the merchant owned other pearls as well. But when he found the pearl of great price, he sold those other pearls. He didn't just add the pearl of great price to his collection. One more. No, he sold the other ones because he recognized the pearl of great price was more valuable than everything he currently possessed. My friends, in the same way, listen to this. We don't just add Jesus to our lives. He doesn't just become another brick in the wall, another component. Jesus becomes our lives. He is our lives. Growing up, I had a poster on my wall, which my mom would remember. It said there, surfing is life. The rest is details. I still love surfing, but guess what I've discovered? That Jesus Christ is life. The rest is details. You can have the world. You can take the world, but give me Jesus. He is everything worth having. If you've got the treasure, if you've got the pearl, believe me, you've got everything worth having. Now, just for the ladies here this morning, especially to those who are married or who will potentially be married, can you imagine being the wife of the guy who found the treasure in the field? Put yourself in her shoes. Husband comes home and says, honey, we're selling up. We're selling up everything to buy that ransacked house over there. Why? Because I know there's treasure hidden in that house. Under that house is a huge treasure. So we're selling everything we got to buy that house. Would you believe him? Paula? Nah. And then he starts acting on that promise. He starts selling all your stuff on Gumtree. Out goes the washing machine and the dishwasher and the blinking microwave and the wedding ring, except the surfboard stays. But everything else goes. And the golf clubs also maybe stay. But everything else goes. It's all on Gumtree and Facebook. He's selling everything to buy that ransacked house. Why? Because he knows that's what he's under that house is worth more than everything he currently possesses. He wants it. And he'll do anything to get his hands on the treasure. My friends, let me tell you this morning. All of us who follow Jesus Christ have made sacrifices. Some of us have left things behind and left habits behind and left people behind. But the reality is we've actually lost nothing and we've gained everything. We are some of the richest people on the planet this morning. We have a treasure worth more than $1 million, million, million. Jesus. So what you've lost actually pales into insignificance compared to what you've gained in Christ. For those of you who are thinking about following Jesus, and what's going through your mind is, oh my goodness, I stand to lose so much. My friend, what you lose will be insignificant in comparison to what you gain in Jesus. Wow, what you gain way outweighs whatever you think you may lose. One of the greatest Christian songs of all time, at least in my opinion, and I listened to it this morning as the sun rose, is a great hymn written by a guy called Isaac Watts in 1707. And the same thought went through his mind that goes through our minds today. He wrote these words. He said, "Were the whole realm of nature mine, that were an offering far too small. Love so amazing, so divine, demands my soul, my life, my all." My friends, the treasure. The pearl of great price is so valuable, is so precious, that what you may lose along the way pales into insignificance in terms of what you gain in Jesus. So let's close off with the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 3. I love Philippians chapter 3 because here Paul outlines his pedigree. In some ways, he makes his boast. He says, "This is who I was before I met Jesus." His titles, his accomplishments. But now, subsequent to meeting Jesus, this is what he writes. He says, "But what things were gained to me, these I've counted loss for Christ. But indeed, I also count all things loss." Why, Paul? "For the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them as rubbish." Why? "That I may gain Christ and be found in him. That I may know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings." My friends, let nobody keep you from the joy of knowing Jesus and being part of the kingdom of God. So let me close off with this question. This morning, in the light of what I've shared, is Jesus your treasure? Very different question to, are you a Christian? Very different. Very different question to, do you read the Bible? That's not what I'm asking. Do you attend church? That's not the question. Do you pray? That's not the question. The question is Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, your ultimate treasure? As we go and get changed for the baptism, I want you just to spend some time thinking about that. And I'll ask Clint to just play a worship song. Friends, these are critical days. We're living in days of tremendous challenge, and I believe I can see it happening all around me. It's happening in this church more than many of you realize. God is stirring hearts, big time, big time. God is raising up people, and I can see many of you here this morning. He's raising up people all across this church who are saying, you know what, Jesus will be my ultimate treasure. You can have the world. Whatever the world considers important, I leave it behind to gain the treasure of Jesus. Don't shortchange yourself. There's one life, and it's soon past. Only what's done for Jesus Christ will last. Is He your ultimate treasure? If I can ask those who are getting baptized to quickly go and change. Luckily, we've got a video camera, so everything will be screened up on the big screen, so you'll be able to see the action.